Blackstone Audio presents Gone to Dust by Matt Goldman. This book is read by McLeod Andrews. From my father, Larry, who would have said, "It's just as good as Grisham, even if it's not." Chapter 1. Minneapolis had a brown Christmas. It happens sometimes. Store owners complain about not selling sleds, skis, and shovels, but no one else seems to mind. We know what's coming. And just after midnight on January 4th, it did, falling wet and heavy. 18 inches on an earth frozen stiff by a clear, cold December. I decided to give myself a snow day and stayed under the comforter to dream in the gray light. But the dreams never came, or maybe they did and fizzled out unremembered. Then I woke at the crack of 8:55 to a buzzing nightstand accompanied by a medley of plows scraping streets, snow throwers whining under stress, and tires spinning themselves to nowhere. I answered my cell. Hello?
Shep, you available?
It was Ellegarde. Professionally or romantically?
Sheesh, Shep, this is serious. East side of Edina near Arden Park. We caught something.
He paused. I could tell he was shaken.
Something sick.
Ellegarde didn't swear or drink. He wasn't an alcoholic or Mormon or 12, so he had no excuse. What happened? I said.
Dang it, Shap, just get over here.
Anders, Ellegarde, and I attended the Minneapolis Police Academy together. A week after getting our badges, the mayor, fending off a Republican challenger, made a show of cutting costs. Last hired, first fired. While the other layoffees sat on their pimply ones playing video games until the rehiring, Ellegarde and I got industrious. I went to work for a private detective firm and started accruing hours toward my license. Ellegarde found a police job across France Avenue in the regal suburb of Edina, where the cops worked the most white-collar job you can while wearing a blue collar. Neither of us put on a Minneapolis police officer's uniform again. Edina PD spent most of its time camped out at the bottom of a hill on 50th writing speeding tickets to Mercedes and BMWs. The revenue helped pay for consultants when a real crime came Edina's way, and apparently one had. The Edina police hadn't worked a murder in over a decade.
We need you, Shep, said Ellegarde. Now.
I owned a shitbox one-bedroom near 54th and Drew. A divorce settlement left me with enough money to pay cash for it. The house was more expensive than it looked. Good schools and restaurants within walking distance inflated the neighborhood's property values. Every week I received at least one offer to buy it, always from a builder. People saw great value in my home, as long as they could wipe it off its foundation. It'd take me 10 minutes to walk to Ellegarde on the east side of Arden Park, or an hour to shovel the driveway so I could back my aged Volvo out of the garage and get it stuck in the unplowed alley. I'll walk over, I said. Save me an acai berry croissant or whatever you Edina hardasses are eating these days. I downed 2 cups of coffee, threw on a jacket, and laced up my sorels. I opened my front door. 1.5 feet of the heavy stuff pressed against the storm door. I wedged it open just enough to slip outside. It was 30 degrees. Compared to the last few weeks of sub-zero fuckery, it felt like summer. The plows had only scraped the main thoroughfares, leaving most Minneapolis streets rutted and sloppy. I trudged west on the snow-covered sidewalk, then hit a stretch some do-gooder had cleared to justify the grand he'd spent on his snowblower. Then I was Ernest Shackleton again until I reached the Edina border where the suburb streets glistened wet and clean, thanks to a battalion of overnight plows. I turned right on Minnehaha Boulevard, which hugged the east edge of Arden Park. A massive house on a hill rose to my right. A sign in the yard read, "Vote no sidewalks for..." Snow covered the remainder of the sign. On my left, Parks and Rec had already plowed the hockey and free skating rinks. Shouts and screams and skates and sticks and pucks slapping boards. All comfortable and familiar. Memories of skating with pretty girls with ropey braids and swollen sweaters. It was a youth well spent. I might have become nostalgic if I hadn't seen the flashing police cherries 2 blocks away through the leafless oaks and